This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're going to bring on our favorite astronomer, Ken Croswell of Berkeley, to take a look at the highlights of 2018. What have we learned about our great universe? What have we learned about the planets, about extrasolar planets, about black holes? What have we learned about the galaxy? And so these are some of the topics we're going to talk about, taking the long-term view of some of the highlights of the past year, 2018, looking at it from an astronomer's point of view. And once again, our special guest today is Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of Magnificent Mars and a host of other books. One of my favorites is The Universe at Midnight, Alchemy of the Heavens, and a number of great books. You can go to his website, kencroswell.com. Ken, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Glad to be here, Michio.
Well, one of the top stories of 2018 was the InSight lander. It was the eighth successful lander that JPL has pulled off, a real coup d'etat, and it has a different mission from the previous probes that we've sent to Mars. First of all, tell us a little bit about the Mars InSight program and why it's actually different from the previous probes that we've sent to Mars.
Yes, our previous landers on Mars have mostly been interested in the surface of Mars, and that starts back with the very first two landers that landed on Mars in 1976, the Viking 1 and Viking 2 landers, which set down on Mars and showed us these fascinating pictures of a very rocky and sort of Arizonan landscape. And subsequent landers have pretty much done the same, looking at the surface of Mars. And the later landers actually were able to move and rove across the surface. But this new lander that has just landed on Mars, and let me give you the details, it was launched from Earth on May 5th of this year, 2018, and it landed on November 26th. The mission of this probe is to look at the interior of Mars. Now, here's what we know about Mars, and for that matter, the other three terrestrial planets of the solar system, Mercury, Venus, and Earth. They're all made of rock and iron in various proportions. The cores of these planets are made of iron, and the mantles and crust are made mostly of rock. And what we'd like to do is learn more about the interior of Mars. Now, here on Earth, of course, we can study the interior of the Earth in many ways. We can drill into the Earth. We can also use earthquakes to probe the Earth's interior. And the Mars InSight probe, and I should say InSight is actually an acronym. Now NASA just loves acronyms. It stands for Interior Exploration Using Seismic Investigations, Geodesy, and Heat Transport. Okay, so the mission of this Mars InSight mission is to look, is to study the interior of the planet Mars. The spacecraft, it's pretty heavy. It's 789 pounds on Earth. On Mars, though, it's only about 300 pounds because the Martian gravity is so much weaker than Earth's gravity. And it carries three main instruments, one of which is going to be looking for Mars quakes and also meteorite impacts. The two Viking landers that landed on Mars in 1976, both of them did carry seismometers. However, the Viking 1 seismometer never worked, and the Viking 2 seismometer never recorded any Mars quakes, that we for sure. I mean, it looks like what it did record was simply rustling of the wind. There is quite a wind on Mars. So we've never had a seismometer like the one that's on the Mars InSight spacecraft. And so it's going to be looking for Marsquakes, which, of course, probe a planet's interior, just as earthquakes probe the Earth's interior. We should also see, every now and then, a meteorite impact on the planet that we can detect via the seismometer. But right now, as far as we know, Mars is much quieter than Earth in terms of seismic activity. So if you really, really don't like earthquakes, well, of course, you don't want to live in Japan or California, but Mars would probably be a really good place for you because there just are very, very, very few earthquakes on Mars as far as we know. But this spacecraft is going to tell us. And so we're going to see just how quiet the planet Mars is. And as we probe inside the planet, assuming there are these Marsquakes, some of the questions we'd like to learn are how big is that iron core in the center of Mars? And how far down is the boundary between the core and the mantle above? So these are some of the questions we'd like to answer by that instrument. And then there's another instrument that is going to attempt to measure the heat flow out of Mars, because that also tells us something about the interior of Mars. The heat flow is a flow that comes both from the heat left over from the planet's formation 4.5 billion years ago, and from the radioactive decay of elements such as uranium.
Okay, now journalists say follow the money. Astronomers say follow the water. Because out of water, we think, comes DNA, organic chemicals, and the stuff of life itself. So wasn't there quite a stir recently, looking at 2018 in terms of astronomical discoveries, to find that there was an underground lake under the poles of Mars? Who would have thought? Who would have thought that if you look underground, there's actually a pool of water, lake? Of course, it's very briny. No one expects there to be a life forms there, but the very fact that it exists, isn't that a game changer?
Well, certainly there is water on Mars. We have long known of water on Mars in the form of ice. Ice is simply frozen water, H2O, but it is certainly interesting that there's this underground lake on the planet, and of course, wherever you have liquid water, we start thinking, well, maybe there could be some life in that liquid water, cold though it is, and as you point out, very briny as it is. So liquid water is always a very interesting thing to find. The thing that makes Earth so special, although we now realize not unique, is that it has so much liquid water. There are many places in the solar system where you can find water in the form of ice. Mars is one of them. Pluto is another. The rings of Saturn is another place where you can find frozen water. But yes, this discovery that there is liquid water in this lake on Mars is certainly of interest. Now, I will say that the Mars InSight spacecraft is probably not going to be addressing the question of water on Mars. It's really looking at what's beneath the surface, and also it landed very close to the equator. And you just pointed out that this lake is near the poles. So we think that the equator is a lot drier than the poles are. So I don't anticipate that we're going to be learning much, if anything, about water on Mars from the Mars InSight spacecraft.
Okay, now also another mystery about Mars that's still not solved is the question of methane gas. Our satellites have detected emissions of methane gas, and on Earth, methane gas is oftentimes Also, Ken, I'd like to ask you about methane gas. Methane gas has been found on Mars, of all places. On the planet Earth, we often associate methane gas with the decay of vegetables and organic materials in the tundra of Siberia and Alaska. Also, perhaps, methane gas in your oven. And we associate methane gas with the decay of organic chemicals. So does that mean that there's some kind of decaying organic chemicals on Mars, or is it purely just a chemical reaction that whose origin we don't know? Any thoughts?
Well, I'm afraid it's the second. We don't know at this point. What we do see is that as...
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books. We're talking about Mars. He wrote the book Magnificent Mars. And so we're talking about the solar system, asteroids. We're talking about black holes. We're talking about looking at 2018 from the eye of an astronomer. So once again, this is Science Fantastic. Stay tuned as we continue a discussion with the long view of the year 2018 with regards to astronomy.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley. We're talking about Mars. We're going to be talking about asteroids. We're going to be talking about black holes and the Milky Way galaxy. And once again, if you want to find out more about my work, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. We average about a million people a week that tune into my Twitter account. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity, where we talk about the future of humanity, perhaps in outer space. What happens if one day we find that we can inhabit the red planet? What happens one day when we have starships far in the future, capable of perhaps reaching the nearby stars? But with us today is Dr. Ken Croswell of Berkeley, and we're talking about the planet Mars. Now, Mars, once upon a time, had water, liquid water, lots of it in the form of rivers, in terms of lakes, maybe even an ocean billions of years ago, but it was lost. Some people think it was because Mars has very little magnetic field. Therefore, there's no magnetic shield to protect it against the solar wind, and the solar wind, in some sense, dissipated much of the early atmosphere of Mars, with it most of the ancient water. So, Ken, as we have the InSight probe looking into the interior of Mars, will it help to explain why Mars lost its magnetic field? Perhaps we'll be able to understand the nature of this magnetic field this way. Any thoughts?
Well, magnetic fields arise from a planet's interior. So, for example, here on Earth, we have a global magnetic field. That's why your compass points north, and that's due to liquid currents in the Earth's core. And one thing we'd like to know about Mars is, does it, in fact, have a core that's molten or not? And so there's a third instrument on the Mars InSight lander that is going to measure the rotation of Mars very precisely, and that's going to help us figure out how much of the core is molten, and that should tell us a little bit at least about maybe why Mars lost its magnetic field long ago, because Mars, unlike Earth, has no global magnetic field. So if you took your compass to Mars, well, it's probably not going to do you much good. Now, there are very, very ancient parts of Mars, as I discuss in my book, Magnificent Mars, that are magnetized. So that does suggest, just as you were saying, that billions of years ago, and I'm talking more than 4 billion years ago, that the planet did have a global magnetic field, but that magnetic field went away. Part of the reason is probably simply that Mars is a much smaller planet than Earth, and so it lost its heat, and its core became much more solid than Earth did. Because the mass of Mars is only 10.7% that of Earth. And so if you imagine baking a big loaf of bread and a small roll at the very same time, you take them out of the oven at the very same time, the small roll is going to cool off a lot faster. And so my opinion is that Mars simply cooled off a lot faster. Its interior cooled off a lot faster. And as a result, it lost its magnetic field long, long, long ago. And then the solar wind could tear away the Martian atmosphere. So that, you know, long ago, Mars may have had an atmosphere as thick as the Earth is today. But right now, it's got an atmosphere that's less than 1% the surface pressure of the Earth. So it's a very hostile planet today. But over 4 billion years ago, there were rivers on Mars. We see this because we see dried up riverbeds in the ancient parts of Mars. We also see flood channels on Mars. We see what may be ancient lake beds. And as you pointed out, the northern hemisphere of Mars may have hosted an entire ocean over 4 billion years ago.
Okay, now, we've been on Mars with our probes since 1976 with the Viking landers. 8 successful landers on Mars. And has there been any sign of life as we know it? Any sign of the organic molecules, DNA, proteins, what have you, that are the constituents of life? Do we have any evidence at all that Mars once had life or has life today?
There is no definite evidence that Mars has life today or ever had life. It certainly has this methane in its atmosphere, and the source of that methane is currently a mystery. But in terms of any definite evidence, you know, no Martian has ever walked past the cameras of any of these spacecraft, and the probes that have sampled the soil have not detected life in a way that convinces all scientists that life is there.
Now, we've been on the surface of Mars. We have orbiters going around Mars. The InSight is probing the inside of Mars. But there's one place that we haven't been to, and that's the polar ice caps. So some people hold out that maybe there could be signs of life at the polar ice caps. But it's very dangerous to land there, right? It's very rocky, inhospitable. But some people hold out the hope that maybe that's the last place where we might find some evidence of life. But, well, what are your thoughts?
Well, actually, a couple landers have landed near the poles. The Phoenix lander landed near the North Pole of Mars, and the Mars Polar Lander landed near the South Pole of Mars. Certainly, if I were looking for life on Mars today, still in existence, I'd probably want to look at the higher latitude, simply because that's where the underground ice is. And where you've got ice, you could have liquid water. Where you have liquid water, maybe you could have life. But I think the equator is probably not the best place to be looking for life on Mars today.
But isn't the equator flatter and therefore more conducive for successful landings? It's more risky, of course, to land in areas that are rockier. But there are parts of Mars that we still haven't explored yet, right?
Oh, yeah. For example, the Phocis Plateau of Mars, which is one of the biggest volcanoes on Mars, are. We've never landed a spacecraft there. So, yeah, there are definitely places of Mars that we would love to explore. Now, the InSight landing site, strangely enough, was chosen deliberately because it's very boring. The scientists wanted a space landing site very near the equator, and also this will help simplify the measurements of the interior as we measure, for example, the heat flow and the planet's rotation. It's a very simple surface there, not too many rocks, not a whole lot going on. So the pictures from the Mars InSight spacecraft are probably not going to be all that exciting, but the point of this mission, again, is not really to study the surface of Mars, but to look deep inside.
Okay, now let's take a look at the long-term haul, because the United States government has now issued a statement saying that, yes, we're going back to the moon and then on to Mars and beyond. That is now the official U.S. policy. And as we go to Mars, then, of course, science fiction writers have always dreamed about terraforming Mars. And one way to start that process is to melt the polar ice caps. Some science fiction writers talk about having solar satellites being solar energy down to the ice caps to melt them. But here's a simple question. Is there really enough water in the polar ice caps to start to create the ancient riverbeds and lakes and maybe even an ocean of long time ago? Is there really enough water left in the polar ice caps?
Well, the big problem with Mars is simply it's so cold. You know, it's the fourth planet from the sun, so it's getting much weaker sunlight, and you need a much stronger greenhouse effect in order to enhance the temperature on Earth. Let me give you some perspective on the temperature on Mars. It varies all the way from plus 80 degrees Fahrenheit, which is quite pleasant, to minus 195 Fahrenheit, which is colder than the Earth ever gets. And much of the time, it's below freezing. In fact, way below freezing. So Mars is a very cold planet. It needs more atmosphere. And certainly water vapor is a greenhouse gas that will enhance the warming on Mars. So is carbon dioxide, which is the main gas on Mars, makes up 95% of Mars's atmosphere. But melting the polar caps of Mars so you have water vapor in the atmosphere would definitely boost the temperature of Mars. The thing is, how would you keep that water vapor in the air and have it not precipitate back down as water? So it's not clear to me that you could raise Mars's temperature enough through this process. But obviously, to make Mars more habitable, you would want the temperature to go up a good deal more. And plus, of course, you want an atmosphere to breathe. So we don't need just carbon dioxide and water. We also need oxygen in the atmosphere. Oxygen makes up 21% of the Earth's atmosphere. If people are going to live on Mars in normal conditions without having a spacesuit, we need oxygen too.
Okay, Ken, we're going to have to take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. If you want to get on Science Fantastic, call 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can have your thoughts heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So stay tuned as we continue a discussion with Ken Croswell about Mars, the asteroid, the solar system, and black holes.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018.
My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Well, happy holidays. It's the end of 2018, the beginning of 2019, and we're taking the long-term view of 2018 with regards to the universe. With us today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of Alchemy of the Heavens, Magnificent Mars, Magnificent Universe, The Universe at Midnight, a number of great books about astronomy, and we just finished talking about Mars, and now we're going to be talking about asteroids. In 2018, the Japanese were able to send a probe past an asteroid. We've done it. Other countries are doing it. And the question is, well, what have we learned about asteroids? Some people think that the water on the planet Earth, our oceans, came originally from outer space. Where else would the oceans come from, after all? And then the question is, well, where in outer space did our oceans come from? So, Ken, what have we learned sending probes past asteroids and comets about, well, where did the oceans get their water from?
Well, asteroids, we think, are the building blocks of larger planets like the Earth, like Mars, like Venus, like Mercury. So we think that the four inner planets of the solar system formed as these smaller bodies crashed together. And it's looking more and more like asteroids are the source of much of Earth's water. Now, long ago, a number of astronomers had thought that, well, comets would make a much more logical source of the water. After all, comets have water ice. Their tails vaporize in the sunlight. That's why they look so beautiful. But then we started measuring the deuterium to hydrogen ratio in comets and comparing it with Earth water. Deuterium is a heavy isotope of hydrogen. If comets are the true source of Earth's water, then the deuterium to hydrogen ratio in comets should be the same as it is in Earth's water. And in 1986, Halley's Comet came by. And guess what? Its deuterium to hydrogen ratio was off by a factor of 2 from Earth's water. And that's also happened with a number of other comets that came by in the 1990s. And so today, the idea that comets delivered Earth's water is out of favor, and it's looking more and more like asteroids are the source of much of Earth's water.
But when we think of an asteroid, well, many people remember Star Wars, where Luke Skywalker hides among the asteroids in the asteroid belt. Basically, a very barren, dry-type environment of rocks everywhere. So where did the water come from if asteroids don't seem to carry much ice?
Oh, but they do. Many of the asteroids do. For example, Ceres, which is the largest asteroid between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, has lots of water ice. So there's plenty of water ice in the asteroid. So there's no problem supplying Earth's water from the asteroid belt if you want to do that. Maybe the Star Wars creators were not up on the latest research. Of course, since Star Wars, when did that come out, in the 70s? I don't think we can blame them for thinking that back then asteroids were really dry. But we are learning that there's actually quite a bit of water ice on many of these asteroids. Ceres is an excellent example of that.
And speaking of asteroids, let me ask you an economic and political question. Some people think that one day we should mine the asteroid belt because, well, space is expensive. It has to be, has to pay for itself. And there are a lot of platinum-based chemicals, we think, in asteroids. And Google billionaires have set up a company called Planetary Resources. And so, well, we'll talk about mining the asteroids after the break. Well, once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station, the city you're calling from, and then ask that question, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product. Yeah.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're talking to astronomer Ken Croswell, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. And we're talking about the year 2018, the long view of the past year in terms of astronomy. Well, this past year, the Japanese sent a space probe past an asteroid. And, of course, we have close-up shots of comets and asteroids now. And some people ask a simple question. Well, why bother? They're nothing but pieces of ice and rock in outer space. What could be more boring than that? Other people think that there could be a gold mine out there, including Google billionaires. They have set up a company called Planetary Resources to mine an asteroid. Perhaps bring it down to the Earth or bring it down to the Moon. Platinum-based chemicals, rare earths, could be found in these asteroids. And they particular have zeroed in on a few asteroids which they think are harvestable close enough to the planet Earth where they can be intercepted by our astronauts, brought back to the Moon or brought back to the Earth. And by harvesting them, you could literally pay for the whole space program. And they've done the math. These are not simple idle speculators. They've done the math and they think that they can make money mining the asteroids. But, Ken, you're an astronomer. What do you think? Do we really know that much about what asteroids are made of to begin to commercialize their mining? What are your thoughts?
Well, as you point out, I'm an astronomer and not an economist, so I'm not sure I can answer this question as to whether it is financially beneficial to go into space to explore these asteroids and try to take back some of the very valuable elements there. However, I do know that there are certainly going to be valuable elements on those asteroids, and they may be a lot more accessible than some of those same elements here on Earth, simply because many of those elements sank into the Earth's core as the Earth's core was forming. The Earth's core is mostly iron, and there are elements that are called siderophiles, which means iron-loving. They like to join with iron. And so that's, for example, why there's not as much gold and platinum on Earth as maybe we would like. But these asteroids could have much larger abundances of these elements. So they're still going to be not terribly common, but it would certainly be intriguing to try to mine an asteroid and see if you could actually pay for the mission via mining valuable minerals.
Okay, well, let's move on now, leave the solar system, and go to outer space, where we have extrasolar planets. So far, 4,000 extrasolar planets have been identified by satellites and by ground-based telescopes. And we even have a census of the Milky Way galaxy. Perhaps billions, billions of Earth-sized planets right in our backyard, the Milky Way galaxy. So, Ken, have there been any surprises with regards to all these different kinds of planets that are being discovered? After all, in the movie Star Wars, a lot of astronomers were insulted when there was a scene where Luke Skywalker looks in the sky and sees two suns. And astronomers said, bah, humbug, you can't have a stable star system with a planet going around two stars. But apparently you can. So any surprises as we explore more and more extrasolar planets?
I would say the big surprise has been how so many of these other solar systems are quite different from ours. Long ago, we had thought that other solar systems would be similar to ours, with small planets near the star and the big planets far away. And what we're learning is our solar system is probably in a minority, perhaps even in an extreme minority. And that has implications for the likelihood of life elsewhere in the galaxy, because if all others, or if many other solar systems differ from ours, it may be harder for those other solar systems to give rise to intelligent life the way ours has.
And wasn't there a discovery of the TRAPPIST system, TRAPPIST named after a Belgian beer, where we have, what, seven Earth-like planets going around a star? I mean, it wasn't supposed to be like that, right? They were supposed to resemble our solar system. But we find out that actually very few, as you pointed out, very few of these solar systems resemble ours. But wasn't that a shock when they found this oddball solar system in outer space?
Yeah, we're finding a lot of what you might call compact solar systems with planets very close to each other and to their
Okay,
stars.
Ken, we have to take yet another short commercial break. Once again, this is Science Fantastic. You're listening to a program devoted to science. Our special guest is Ken Croswell of Berkeley. And if you want to get on the program, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. This service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault. A miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, in this hour, we're taking the long view of 2018 in terms of the universe. What have we learned about this great universe of ours? Our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars. Well, let's talk about the galaxy as well. Recently, you published an article concerning stars that are racing away from the Milky Way galaxy, setting speed records. So could you elaborate about that remarkable discovery?
Yes, this is a discovery that just occurred in 2018, and it's very interesting, and it's the subject of a feature article that I wrote in the December 2018 issue of Sky and Telescope magazine. The article is entitled "The Fastest Stars Escaping the Galaxy." Now, we found the very first so-called hypervelocity star back in 2005, and that was a star that had gotten kicked out of the Milky Way by the big black hole at the center of the Milky Way. But these new stars are different. They owe their very high speeds, much higher than that earlier star, to a completely different phenomenon. When white dwarf stars explode and cast away an orbiting star. Because a white dwarf, let me explain, is a dying star. It's very small. It's only about the same size as the Earth. Therefore, another star can orbit very closely to that very small star, just a few thousand miles away. And that means that that other star is going to be going around that star very, very fast. So if the white dwarf vanishes, that means that the orbiting star is flung away at very high speed, extremely high speed. So imagine, for example, if the sun were to vanish. I mean, all the planets would be flung into space at whatever speed they're orbiting the sun. So in the case of the Earth, we're going around the sun at 30 kilometers per second. So the Earth would go into space at 30 kilometers per second. But these stars orbiting white dwarfs, when those white dwarfs explode, they fling away their companions at potentially thousands of kilometers per second, which is almost 1% the speed of light. And we have now found five of these very high-velocity stars, three of them, the three most extreme, discovered just this year due to work by the Gaia spacecraft, which the Europeans launched in 2013, and which measures the distances and speeds of many, 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 over a billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. So this is one of the most exciting discoveries of the year 2018, and again, it's the subject of my article in the December 2018 issue of Sky and Telescope, The Fastest Stars Escaping the Galaxy.
Now, if these stars are ejected from the home galaxy at these incredible rates, then will they attain escape velocity? That is, will they go fast enough to leave the galaxy permanently to enter intergalactic space? Are they going that fast?
Yes, indeed, because the escape velocity of the Milky Way in our part of the galaxy is only about 500 or 600 kilometers per second. And And these stars are all moving faster than that. The very fastest ones are moving at 2,300 and 2,400 kilometers per second, which is about 0.8% the speed of light. So, yes, all five of the stars I talk about in this December issue of Sky and Telescope are headed for intergalactic space. They are leaving our galaxy forever. They will never come back. And who knows, maybe someday they'll pass through some other galaxy.
Now, this also means that if there was a planet going around these stars that had life on them, they would be destroyed, right? I mean, the universe is maybe full of planets that have some form of life, maybe microbial life, but these planets, the life on these planets are not going to survive if the solar system itself is ripped apart, right? These are catastrophic events.
Yeah, these are supernova explosions, type 1A supernovae. When the white dwarf explodes and then its companion star is flung away, I don't really know what happens to the planets in a situation like that. I suspect they are flung away, too, at very high speed, and they may not stay attached to their star. And so they would go sailing off into the darkness, also into intergalactic space. And so, yeah, it would be a pretty lonely life, especially if you're an astronomer, because you'd be leaving the galaxy and there wouldn't be many stars in your sky.
Wow. And also, these individual planets that would be flung out, they would become rogue planets, right? I mean, planets without mother stars, simply wandering their way throughout the galaxy, unattached to any star system, right?
That's right. When the central star vanishes, the planets are going to, even if the star does not leave the galaxy, the planets are going to be flung away on their own. So they will leave their mother star, and they will go through the darkness, and they will get colder and colder. If there is any life, that life will presumably disappear unless the planet can find some other source of heat, such as perhaps radioactive heating from the planet's own interior.
Wow. So we're talking about the potential life and death of entire star systems. Well, now let's say a few things about the center of the Milky Way galaxy, where we have a huge black hole weighing maybe 2, 3, 4 times the mass of our sun. And astronomers think that one day we'll have a photograph of at least what is called the event horizon of the black hole. So explain to us how it's possible to lash together radio telescopes on the planet Earth to be able to create a snapshot of a black hole in outer space.
Well, there is indeed a big black hole at the Milky Way center, 4 million times the mass of the sun. Its name is Sagittarius A star, and we do hope to image it by lassoing together, as you say, these radio telescopes.
Okay, well, Ken, unfortunately, we have run out of time, but thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And once again, if you want to find out more about Ken Croswell's work, go to his website, kencroswell.com. His books include Alchemy of the Heavens and Magnificent Mars, and you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, or you can give us a call and be on Science Fantastic yourself. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on that.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Young, Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.